Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, a change is coming. Amen, amen, amen. This is your host, Elder QT Docs, coming to you today under the auspices of Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughter International Institute, under the leadership of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docs. Oh, Teresa is running a good ship here. Amen, amen, amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I am delighted to be here to host this show for you today. And just thank God for your ears today. Oh, it's just wonderful to know that this country is trying to get back on track. And the same way we want our lives to get back on track, we're trying to get back on track with God. Same way we want this country to get back on track, because the prayer of the righteous prevaileth much, and God heard and he answered our prayers for this country to get back on track. Amen, amen. And we need that. We need that really bad. And we pray that God give us the ability to continue to pray to get this country and our lives back on track. And this 6 things briefly, I just want to just talk to you about getting our lives back on track. I'm going to be coming out of Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to be talking about getting back on track. And but I'm just going to talk to you about just 6 ways to get back on track. And that's not only to help ourselves and help our families, but it's also to help the country at large. We need to just talk to God about what's going on. Just ask God, just as with any other person and that we are close to within our lives and we want to pray for. We're just going to just communicate with him to get our lives in this country back on track. We must obey him. Just do what he is asking us to do. Just follow God. Just obey his commandments. And if our leaderships, not only in the church, but our leadership for this country and for the world, if we just follow the commandments of God, we can get this world, as well as this country, as well as ourselves, back on track. Three, we need to study the scriptures. Study the scriptures to get back on track, to get our lives back on track. And once we are on track, we can help others get back on the track that was derailed somewhere along their journey. Amen. We must get back on track. Study the scripture. Scripture will benefit your soul, your spirit. Amen. We must listen to the Lord. As the Lord lead and guide us, we must listen to him in order to get back on track. Because if he tells us to go left and we go right, we're not getting back on track. We must listen to him to be directed. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. We must also show gratitude to the Lord. Amen. You know, show your Father in heaven that you are grateful for all his blessings that he has bestowed upon you. Amen. We must continue to do that. And we must be mindful that God present in our life is always there. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I understand that my repentance won't eliminate the consequences of my sin. Amen. Knowing that you don't hold our sins to our account. You remember them no more. You said, the Lord, your word said that you placed them as far as the east from the west, the north from the south. Amen. That you humbles me with your amazing gratitude. The Lord, I just want to thank you and just thank you to continue to bless, not to bless the listening audience, or just to bless the world itself, bless this country, bless the leaders, the king that you have, you are going to put in place, that you have already put in place. We want to bless his administration that's going to take over. Amen. The Lord, we know that no consequences that could ever be as painful as knowing how my sin, our sin, hurt you, or how you suffer for me and our love. Amen. The Lord, we know that your son that was crucified, his crucifying death gave us eternal life with you. Oh, Heavenly Father, you place grace next to our regrets and give us hope for a new future, because we see it. We see the new future. We see what's happening here. We see the turnaround. We see it, dear God, and we want to thank you for it. Amen. We want to bring this country back to you. We want to get back on track. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that our sins does not disqualify us. Instead, like a runner who has fallen down but get back up, I too, we are willing to start again and finish the race you have set for us. Because, dear Father, we know that if we finish the race, we will see your face. Amen. Amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Oh, I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted to be here. Amen. God is just so wonderful. So wonderful. Amen. Thursday, Thirst for Truth. How to get back on track. How to get back on track. Amen. Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's in Matthew 12:40. Amen. Even this great prophet was knocked off track. Are we talking about Jonah? He was knocked off track. His disobedience. In verse 4, and Jonah says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it low. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. We have to get back on track. We can't continue to run and leave our responsibility and then do something else that's unorthodox. We can't continue to do that. God knows what will it take to get us back on track. He knows what we cherish. He knows our health and looks. He knows things that we just cherish the most. Some people cherish money, reputation, power, control, pride. God knows. this is what we're chasing, then we're chasing the wrong thing. To get us to our weakest point, God often breaks the strongest link in our lives so we can wake up and see what's going on. What's going on? You know, some storms are sent to redirect our whole destiny. Others are sent to strengthen. How do you know when to jump ship or see it through? Same way with Jonah. Same way with the mariners. They didn't know what to do, but Jonah knew. Amen. Is there peace? Is there assurance, conviction, or any remorse? Daniel was tested with the lion. Peter slept in prison. Jesus went to sleep in the storm. Amen. If he didn't break up our plans, we wouldn't change direction. You know, God has this way of turning us around. I mean, I don't care what it may be. I mean, he has this way of turning us around. If something that we care for the most, God will take it away from us to make us wake up and see. You know, if, oh, this is what you like? This is what you're running after? Okay, the storm is coming. The storm is going to wash away all that you care for. You know, God also used a disclosure. You know, we're talking about in chapter 7, it says, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know who caused this trouble that has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Amen. Amen. You know, it's, you know, what we do a lot, we blame our occupation. We blame our heritage. We blame our skin color. We blame our upbringing. You know, we blame our parents. You know, we hold them at fault for our behavior and for the way we act. And we don't know, once we get to that point, we have our choice. We make our own decisions. We cannot look back and say, oh, mom and dad did this, or the school or the teacher did this, or the system did this. We have a choice. We have a will. We have a direction. We have feet that we must follow. We can't continue to hold the system. Can't continue to hold the system at fault for our mistakes. The leadership has it out for us. The supervisor has it out for us. We cannot continue to point our finger at everyone else. Amen. People are watching. Our opportunity is to do right. They can't make us do right. It's our choice. We must do right. Tennis says, we're talking about discord. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them that. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will be calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. You know, and getting back on track, it involves, my brothers and sisters, my beloved, it involves sacrifice. It involves a change in the course of our life. We cannot continue. I've not been expressing this every week. We cannot continue to do the same thing and expect for our life to be different expect for things to change unless we change the course of our action, of our choice. In order to get back on track, there's got to be a sacrifice. Give up the drugs. Give up the alcohol. Give up stealing. Give up fornication. Give up the things that you've been doing that's not like of God. Give it up. Make that sacrifice. Give it up. Once you give it up, then surrender yourself to God. Amen. The greatest sacrifice that the Lord has given us was his son Jesus. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's in Matthew 12 and 40. So why not turn the ship around? Why not turn us around? When God requests, when God wants you to do something, and you're not doing what he's asking you to do, you might be thinking you're going in the right direction and thinking you're getting away, but you're not. You must be obedient. You must follow the course that the good Lord has laid out for you. Amen. This is a sign of genuine repentance if you decide to, hey, I'm going to do what the Lord has requested me to do. You can't look for others. Your decision is your decision. You have to seek to fix the cause that you are seeking. You must get back on track. And verse 13, it says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous. You know, the tempest in that sea was just raging high against them. So they had no other choice but to do what? Throw Jonah overboard. Amen. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly in the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, it's ironic that we think a whale can't swallow anyone. I was reading an article on the internet about a week and a half ago. These two ladies was on a kayak. I think they were in a specific ocean somewhere. They were in a kayak, and a whale came out of nowhere. A humpback whale came out of nowhere and swallowed that kayak with the two ladies inside. Somehow, they got away. And the one lady said she knew she was a goner. But somehow, they continued to push up on the whale's mouth, and they got out. Amen. God is just so good. He's an awesome God. We know that obedience will restore peace. And by Jonah being obedient, it restored the peace and the calmness of the sea by them throwing him overboard. Amen. But peace doesn't mean complete restoration. The sea was calm, but he was still in the belly. He still had responsibility. He still had a mandate. He still had something that he's supposed to do. His storm was not over yet. He must go back and do what the Lord has requested for him to do. Get back on track. We must get back on track. Owe it, and God will rebuild our lives. Don't be defensive. Be determined. Determined to do what is right. Don't blame the supervisor. Don't make excuses. Accept the responsibilities. Excuses lead us further down the wrong road. And that's what Jonah was making excuses about what they did and who did this to him and yada, yada, yada. No, wrong answer. Come on now. We must not let pride stand in our way. Pride is deadly. Because pride, as we know, as you know, pride doesn't listen. Amen. We know, I'm quite sure you know a lot of ministers, a lot of supervisors, when they let pride stand in their way, it eventually end up into what? It end up in their downfall. God said that, you know, God said he will shut this before I shut you down. God will shut this down. He will shut your career down. He will shut your life down. We must be obedient. Amen. God is just so good. God is just so good. Amen. You know, I looked at the King Josiah. When he sent them together, all the elders of Judea and Jerusalem to him. Because he, you know, and the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing the words of the book. Because, see, King Josiah discovered a book that he found, and he just... And he realized that the words in these books is something that they were not following. They were not being obedient to the word. They weren't lining up with the word of God. So he summons everyone he can summon. So he can tell them, hey, we're not doing what's right. You know, the king stood by a pillar and he made a covenant before the Lord. He said, following the Lord and keeping his commandment. He said, his testimony and his statute, we were not doing it. They were not doing with all their hearts and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that was written in this book that he found. And he said to all the people he summons, he said, I knew what to do. He said, well, you know, I'm going to bring them back to the Lord, because he knew that when this was brought to him, he must act on it immediately. You know, God tell you something, you know, you want to move on it. You can't say, well, next month I'll do it, because next month might not come. Amen. Cannot do it. We are Christians. And we know we're Christians. And we know that by you listening to the word and receiving the message, And if you are convicted and committed, you're going to do what's right. You're going to do what's right in the eyes, not only of God, but you know that if you don't, there's going to be consequences behind your behavior. So you want to get back on track. You want to do what God is requesting you to do. Amen. Maybe it's time to do something about it. And maybe it's time to do it now. Now, have you heard of, I know you heard of Josiah before, because probably not, because Josiah, he was a rather obscure king of Judah. during the last few days, you know, we know the last few decades before the people of Israel were taken into captivity in Babylon and by the Babylonians, Josiah said, hey, we have to get my people back on track before God. And he knew that this was the right time for it. So the people have been ignoring the Lord for generations. Because, you know, Josiah, father, grandfather, they all was worshiping idols. Things had gotten so bad that one day the chief priest stumbled. You know, he stumbled across this Bible and this holy scripture, and he brought it to him and said, you know, we're lost. We must do something. And when the king heard of the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. He said, Lord, you know, this is in 2 Kings 22 and 20. Josiah was upset. If what the words in this book said were true, then his people, you know, had gone way off track, way off track. So the king sent them back to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And Josiah didn't waste any time. We shouldn't waste any time. We need to get our life back on track. God's going to only direct us and lead us. But if we continue to ignore his choice, his requests, his instruction, his guidance, then the derailment is inevitable. But somehow he had to get his people back on track with God. And the time to do it was right now, he said. So Josiah said what? He said he had all personal relationship with God. He knew that they had been sidetracked. So he has gone off the rails to gather everyone. He had a class. He had gathered all his people together and said, we must come together and get back on track because we lost it. We lost it for decades. And now is the time to do right. So what about our prayers in life? What about our family devotion? What about our attendance at church or listening to the Word of God? What about it? Is that just one more neat compartment in your life that we need to be filled? What about our families, our jobs, and our own recreation? Those are compartments. But we need to bring the compartment of the Word of God into our lives. Maybe it's not even a very important compartment compared with others, but we know that the Word of God is more important to get us back on track, to keep us from being sidetracked. Amen. I'm going to take a pause. God is just so good. You know, if we love the Lord with all our hearts and all our soul and with all our mind, this is the first great commandment. Every single one of us has broken that commandment one way or another. One way or another. Let's get back on track, my brothers and sisters. We can't run anymore. It's time. This is the decade to get back on track. Amen. It is time right now to get back on track. Do you know that we can't wait for New Year's to make that resolution? It's time now to get back on track. Let me pause for a cause and let you listen to a little music here. Amen. God is just so good. God is just so good. Let's get back. Like a poor policeman Amen. Amen. You can't run. You can't hide. You can't run. You can't hide. We have to get back on track. We've been derailed. My brothers and sisters, we must get back on track. Ah, we must get back on track to the Savior who will pull us out of the sinful mess that we've gotten ourselves into. Let's get back on track. Jesus will lift that heavy yoke of sin and guilt off our shoulders. Let's get back on track, including the guilt you feel about not keeping the first commandment to love God and serve Him above everything else in your life. Let's get back on track, my brothers and sisters. What better time could there be than now is to rededicate our lives to the Lord. Let's get back on track, my brothers and sisters. You know, as St. Paul will put it, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. It said, now is the right time to get back on track with God. You haven't got a minute to lose. We haven't got a minute to lose. Amen. Josiah had made his resolution to start a reform, to get right with God again. Where did he carry out that decision? In our country, today, the executive decisions are made in the White House. Whew! Oh, what a decision. And legislative decisions are made in Congress. In ancient Israel, the seat of the executive was the royal palace. The seat of the legislature was the city gates, where the elders of the people would meet to talk things over. Josiah bypassed both these places and went to one place. It was proper to renew the people's commitment to the Lord, the Lord's house. And right now, most of our Lord's house has been closed down. And so, where do we go? So we go to the Word. We go to the Internet. We go to the radio. We go where we can listen to the Word of God. Amen. So, but the kings went to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. They wanted to get back on track with God. Amen. We know they did. And they knew the right place to do it. They went to God's house, the place where God was worshiped and where God's word was read. Everybody went, from greatest to least, from the king on down to the poorest baker. Where do we go? We go to the Bible. Where do we go? If we want to receive the word, if we want to be around people with kindred spirits. We go to the internet. We go to the radio. We listen to the man or woman of God. They went to hear God and receive God's forgiveness. They went to rededicate themselves to God's service, to get back on track with God. Here in the Lord's house, here where you may listen to the word of God, is the right place for you, for me, to get back on track with God. Here is where God's word is preached. Amen. Have you ever seen a blast furnace or seen, do you know that how hot a blast furnace can get? The temperature of a blast furnace can get fantastically hot. And to get to that temperature, they pipe in pure oxygen to feed the flame. When you come to a church on Sunday, or you listen to the message on Sunday morning, or Monday morning, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, your faith is the fire, and inspired by the pure word of God that is preached from the pulpit, that is preached from the microphone of a house or from a studio. This is where you are being fed. This is where the fuel are used to feed your soul, to keep your faith burning white hot. God's law and his gospel, his word of repentance. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And his sweet word of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8-9, place for us to be, to get back on track. It's to listen to the word, to study the word, to line ourselves up with the word of God. And there's something else we must gain by getting together with our fellow Christians, that kindred spirits, worshiping together, praying together. And that's the heat that we call the heat by association. That's the heat. That's that oxygen that will fuel the flames. It's pretty common to hear someone says, hey, I can read the word at home, or I don't have to come to church to be a Christian, or I don't have to listen to the word by any pastor, you know, yada, yada, yada. A good member, but one who hadn't been to church for quite a while. You know, it's a shame that when you know the word and you're studying the word, but you must associate, you must fellowship with someone of like spirit, like, you know, just someone that knows the word, that can help fuel you, to help breathe in that pure oxygen into your spirit. Amen. There's a story about a country pastor. He once went to visit one of his members, a good member, but one who hadn't been in church for quite a while. He came into the man's house and sat down quietly with the man by the blazing fireplace. He had his fireplace just blazing. Heat was coming out, was looking, feeling real good. The pastor never said a word. He took the tongs and pulled one of the burning coal out of the fire, and he laid it by itself on the hearthstone. Both the pastor and his member, they sat in silence and watched while the coal went from red, hot, to orange, until finally it was cold and black. "Don't say a word," the man said to the pastor. The man said, "Then I'll be at church this Sunday and every Sunday and after that." So what the pastor was demonstrating is, if you're not being fed pure oxygen, if you're not being fed the word of God, once you get away from it, you're going to turn cold. Your soul is going to be dead. It won't be on fire anymore. Amen. And we need to get back on track. That heat by association, associating with other saints, being fed, listening to the word of God, studying the word of God. Believers need to join together to praise and worship our Father and to encourage one another in the faith. We need that heat of association. Without it, we run the risk of letting our faith grow cold and die. Amen? Talk to me, somebody. That's why the writer to the Hebrews said, let us consider how we can stimulate one another to love and to do good works. Let us not stay away from our worship service, as some are regularly doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day coming near. That's in Hebrew 10 and 26. Amen. Josiah and his people had been sidetracked for a long time. So they did something about it. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimony and his statute and all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. We should stand by our own conviction. We should say to the Lord, Lord, it's time for me. It's time for me to stand by your word. It's time for me to study to show myself approved. It's time for me to listen to you, to prepare and do what is right. And take this covenant seriously, because all of us as well, all of us are guilty to some extent of letting ourselves be sidetracked from our service to God. Jesus has earned us for this. He earned our forgiveness. Jesus has done this for us. Do you want to get back on track with God? This is the time to get back on track. Let us join in the words of Joshua, who told his fellow Israelites, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you just listen to this message and you don't have a church home, find a church home. You know, find a good Bible-based church somewhere. You know, you want to just say these few words and allow God to save you, to grab you and take your salvation so you can have eternal life. You want to say, just, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I will receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now, Heavenly Father, help me to live for you the rest of this life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Now, if you just declare these words with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10 and 9. Brother and sister, we don't need to say much more than that. You know that it doesn't take much to talk to God. We talk to God like we talk to our homies, to whoever you talk to, the people at work. Just talk to God naturally. He will hear your cry. He will hear you. And he will answer your prayer. Surrender yourself to God. Allow yourself to walk with Him, to talk with Him. Remember, the salvation is by grace, through faith. There's nothing you did or ever can do to deserve it. Salvation is free. It's a free gift from God. All you have to do is receive it. Amen. Tell someone this week. Tell someone this week about your decision. Tell someone this week that they need to get back on track with God. Tell someone this week that God has never left us. He's always there. We ran from Him. Tell someone this week that we're going to be obedient to His word. Tell someone this week that I'm going to study His word. I'm going to listen to His word. I'm going to listen to what He has to say to me and be guided by the Holy Spirit to do what is right. Tell someone this week that our God is good, and He's good all the time, and His mercy endures forever. Tell someone this week that God is good. Amen. I'm going to turn this last few minutes over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox. She always come up with a great ending to help all of us. Amen.
Stop it, Elder. Praise God. Praise God. We just, you know, I'm always excited about what God is doing and how He moves. And as Elder was talking about Jonah, thank you, Jesus, I just started meditating on how Jonah lived his life. You know, I thought about how in the first chapter, how Jonah was running from God. And then in the second chapter, he was running to God. Doesn't that kind of sound like us? And then in the third chapter, he was running with God. And then in the fourth chapter, he was running ahead of God. Lord have mercy. And it just really reminded me of how we are. When God tell you to do something, I mean, of course, Jonah didn't want to do it because he didn't want the people of Nineveh to be saved. Why didn't he want them to be saved? Because they had killed his family. So he wanted to go another way, another route. You know, kind of like if I don't win, I'm going to make everybody lose. Does that remind you of something that's going on right now? But Jonah was a prophet. And as I studied, and you all can correct me if I'm wrong, but he was the only prophet whom Jesus likened to himself. As I was reading in Matthew chapter 12, I was reading 31, I guess to about 41. And that substantiated that, and I haven't done further research. But until then, I'm going to go with that he was the only prophet that got Jesus likened to himself. And it'll go on, and it behooves not just me, but you as well to study about Jonah. Study about him because based on my observation, he's a lot like a lot of us. When I would do good, evil is always present. Amen. So again, I don't want to go behind Elder and preach or teach, but I just wanted to just input that sometimes we have to do what we least desire to do. Go save those people that destroyed your family. You know, and again, he was one of the minor prophets. He was the fifth minor prophet for that. Matter of fact, but and I can go on and on, but I just wanted you to know that being on this line, we praying that it is enhancing your ministry, that it is activating your assignment, that is causing you to be encouraged to acknowledge what God has called you to do? Or are you going to run from the call? Are you going to run from the assignment? You know, the song says, you can run, but you can't hide. It said you can't run and you can't hide, but you can run, but you can't hide. So I want to encourage you today, get a thirst, get an appetite to do more. Get an appetite to be on track. Get an appetite to stay focused on what God would have you to do. A lot of times we're doing things because it's something to do, or maybe someone asked us to do it and we don't want to let them down. But again, I want to encourage you to do the will of the Father concerning you, concerning your life. Amen. Again, I want to thank Elder for going forth and teaching the Word of God. And I think you did a great job, and I want to just thank everyone for your support. And I want to thank everyone for just acknowledging your assignment. Know that you have an assignment, Kingdom Builders Development Institute. We're not just here. We're here for developmental purposes. We're not just teaching. We're teaching so that you can become. Amen. So we're all in that Jonah state. And then we can get on track and do what God has called us to do. Amen. Well, when God bring one king down, he'll raise up another. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So again, with that being said, we want to encourage you to sow in the ministry. Go to giveify.com and sow your seed. And even during this holiday season, with gift baskets and being able to provide certain things to certain people during this time. So if you're sowing into the ministry, we want to encourage you, if you are interested in sponsoring a family, if you're interested in sponsoring a family, we will be posting on today the sponsorship for families, and we'll give you the family names that you sponsor and how many are there in the family. If you just want to sponsor the meal, if you want to sponsor a turkey, whatever it is you would like to do, we want to encourage you to pray and ask God to give you the direction. And we have families in need. Actually, while Elder was on the call, I got two calls as he was going forth. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to sponsor a family, you can give us send us an email at kingdombuildersplaza@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. Amen. So again, with that being said, going to release you, that you would enjoy the rest of your day, your evening, that you would be a blessing to someone, and that every day, not only would you prosper and be in good health, but that your soul would prosper. That's the key thing, getting back on track, getting back on track. Amen. The doors of the church will never close, because when Jesus opened the door, it has not shut. Is still open. So I want to encourage you to bring someone to Christ. Give them the call of salvation. Grab them by the hand, and don't forget to have your mask on. But just say to them that you want to pray the prayer of salvation over them. Have communion with someone. Go to a senior. Take communion over there to them. Give them a gift basket. You know, just take every day and make sure every day that you're back on track with the call of ministry. Write it down. This is what I'm going to do today. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. Because your faith without works is dead. I want to encourage you that you would stay on track and that you would grow mightily in the Word of God. Amen. God bless everyone. Father, we thank you for this time, and we ask you in Jesus' name that you would anoint afresh your people. God, that we would not fear, we would not be afraid, but we will move forth in faith. We will not be intimidated. We will not be antagonized, but we will go forth with fire because we understand that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, God, in Jesus' name, we ask you that you would grow us in our faith and our love walk, that we would do mighty works. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I cover you afresh with the blood of Jesus. Go into the ministry of the King. Go into the ministry of the kingdom. And your reward is waiting. It's waiting in Jesus' name. So again, I say to you, remember, his eyes is everywhere. He neither sleep nor slumber. And his eyes is on you. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed and terrific rest of the evening.
If I were you, I'd get lawyer, Jesus. I wouldn't wait, I'd make haste. This is something you can't get around, no matter what you do. Just as sure as you can hear my voice tonight, one day he's got a word for you. But you know. Take the baby from his mother's breast. He'll take the rich.